We're turning, please, to John chapter 7, and we're looking again this morning at the things people said about Christ. Some wonderful things were said in very differing circumstances about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some were intended as genuine words of praise and adoration. Others, though tending to reflect upon the Lord's glory, or to reflect to the Lord's glory, were not intended as such. And here in the chapter 7, we have just such an instance. Men have been sent to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. His enemies have felt it necessary to employ the civil power against him. In so doing, they were acknowledging their weakness. They were acknowledging their defeat. They were acknowledging that they could not match him, that they could not defeat him, that his spirit and his grace was such that they were no match for him. When it came to debate, when it came to argument, when it came to discussions, they could not match him. And they came off worse. So they said, let us use force. Let us employ the civil authority against him. What a confession of defeat that is. Any church that must look to civil authority and to government to advance its cause or to protect it against the words of others is a church that is dead, a church that has no power, a church that has forfeited the blessing of God. The Pharisees represented a dead church. The church in Israel, as far as it was represented by the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests, the church was defunct. It may still have had the structures of office, but had had nothing of the energy, of the power of God about it. And that's why they had to employ the civil powers to try and silence the Lord Jesus. His preaching was undermining them. The people were saying that he preaches with authority, not like the scribes. He was gradually undermining and undercutting the standing of the church leaders of his day. His preaching of the truth was cutting away the hypocrisy and exposing the vanity and the emptiness of their religion. And the Pharisees saw the threat, saw the danger. But being no match for Christ, they sent men to arrest. The men return empty-handed. And the question is asked by the Pharisees and the chief priests in the verse 45, why have ye not brought him? They couldn't understand why he hadn't been arrested, why he wasn't now standing in chains before them. Man cannot understand God's working. Man cannot understand how God can intervene and deliver people. They can't grasp. Why did you not arrest him? Why have you not brought him to us? What possible explanation have you? They couldn't understand. The answer given by the officers is our text this morning. Never man spake like this man. Never man. Oh, what a compliment that is, the Lord Jesus. It was not intended as such. Never more true report was given of the Lord Jesus Christ preaching than this report here. It was not meant flattering. But oh, how it exalts and tells us about him. Never man. There is a great need for preacher be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more they are like him, the more they will speak in such a fashion that is unearthly. Speaking with unearthly power, speaking about unearthly things, speaking in an uncommon fashion. So it was with Nevermore. Could I ask you to consider with me this statement by these men? And notice first and foremost that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are powerful. They are uniquely powerful. There is something powerful about Christ's words that distinguishes them from all other impressive utterances that may have been upon this earth. His are unique. Now these men, when they went to arrest Christ, were not impressed by his appearance. Of course, the prophet Isaiah had said concerning the appearance of the Lord Jesus that there would be nothing that would be remarkable about his appearance. Isaiah chapter 53 and the verse 2, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. There was nothing, I do believe, about the physical appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ that indicated that he was who he was. There was nothing that the human eye could detect in just looking upon Christ that indicated that he was God manifest in the flesh. I'm sure he was perfect in health, for he who was sinless could not be sick. He was perfect in stature. He was perfect physically. And yet, there would have been no indication from a mere physical examination of Christ that he was the Son of God. He was the... No, these men came back and they didn't say, never man looked like this man. They weren't impressed by his miracles. The Lord Jesus Christ had wrought many miracles, but they weren't impressed by his miracles. It was his word impressed. Never man speak like this. Now let's learn from that, that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are uniquely powerful. Let us learn first and foremost, Christian, that it pleases God to send forth or put forth or display his power through his word. Through his word. That's how God manifests. Now the Lord Jesus Christ could have manifested his power through his appearance. His appearance is such that no eye can look upon. God dwelleth in light that is inaccessible. When Moses said, let me look upon you, God said, I cannot let you look upon me, for no man can see me and live. He says, I will cause my glory to pass by you, and I will shelter you from my glory with my hand, and when I have passed by, then I will let you look, so that you only see a passing glimpse of my glory. And even that glance was so impressive that Moses came from the mountain, and his countenance shone. His countenance. On the Mount of Transfiguration, we read of the Savior's garments for a few moments, beginning to glisten and shine with heavenly glory, to the consternation of the three apostles who were there with him. Oh, if the Lord Jesus had wanted to put forth his power, he could have caused his glory to break through the veil of the flesh. But that's not God's way. That's not God's way. God puts forth his power today by his word, through his word. That's how God puts forth his power today. That's why we read those familiar words of Paul to the Corinthians. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 18. It is the power of God. What? The preaching of the cross. That's the power of God. That's God's power in this land. Men and women, you know, love to think of God working miracles today. They desire God to do tremendous things today. But that's not God's way. God does not purpose to demonstrate his power by working miracles. He purposes to demonstrate his power through the preaching of the word of God. That's how God does it. When you take up the Bible and preach it earnestly and simply, you have in your hand the sword that is like no other sword. It is. You have the weapon of God. You have that which God has decreed from all eternity. I will demonstrate my power amongst the peoples of the earth through this instrument. What instrument? The preaching of the word of God. That's God's instrument. That's why a church must be built round preaching. That's why the minister must be a preacher, no matter what else he feels at. And if he can preach, don't feel him on anything else. Well, that's all he's meant to do. That's all he's meant to do. That's what he must be above all things, a preacher of the word of God. For that is the means by which God puts forth his, that is the means by which God puts forth his power. Jeremiah chapter 5 and the verse 14. That great preacher has something to say on this matter. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. He said, I will make my word in thy mouth. God was going to put forth his power in the days of Jeremiah through the mouth of Jeremiah, as Jeremiah preached God's word. Supernatural events are less effective, less demonstrative of God's power than is the word of God. The Lord Jesus said, my words are spirit they are life. I give life to sinners through my word. You remember how when he told the parable in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man saying to Abraham, send back Lazarus from the grave that he might warn my brothers. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the man said, the verse 30 of the chapter 16 of Luke, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Such a supernatural event as that will turn them. No, says Abraham, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Because the power in the words of Moses and the prophets is greater than the power attending such a supernatural event as one coming back from the dead. God, you see, puts forth his power through his word. That is demonstrated in a number of ways, not just in salvation, not just in redemption. It is seen in creation and conservation. Genesis chapter 1 and the verse 3 speaks of God speaking, and by his word the worlds were created. In Hebrews chapter 1 and the verse 3, we discover that not only is the word of God the source of creative power, but the word of God is the source of preserving power. Because if you read with me in the verse 3 of Hebrews 1, we read concerning Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. The world is kept. Order is maintained. This great creation of God is conserved and preserved by the word of Christ. By the word of Christ. He commands, and it is so. God puts forth his power in salvation through his word. That's how men are saved. Can't be saved without the word. Can't be saved without believing the Bible. Can't be saved without receiving the seed. It has all the energy of heaven, my friend, within it. And when it is received by faith and planted in your heart, it will burst into life. Even the life of God. Even the life of... Oh, if you would know God's power in your life, then you must receive this word and believe it. Then it will have people at this time of the year or a little earlier have been planting bulbs. And as soon as they planted them unseen by their eyes, things began to happen. If they had kept them in the packet, nothing would have happened. But once united to the soil and to the foodstuffs that are within the soil, a miracle takes place. And that bulb, with all its energy, with all its potential, with all its beauty, with all its glory, begins to develop. And this book, my friend, this book, holding as it does within its covers, heaven, forgiveness, glory, peace with God, it's all there in that cover. It's all in this book, my friend. But it will never be known to you. It will never be experienced by you until you receive it into your heart by faith. Then God will demonstrate his power through it. Reveal his glories. It's through God's word salvation is wrought. It was through God's word that creation was brought about and is preserved. The power of Christ's word will be seen also with the resurrection. Remember what he said in the 5th chapter of John, the verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The word of Christ is powerful. He will speak one day, and the particles of the dust of the earth, my friend, that once were the human bodies of innumerable multitudes, will be reconstituted again to those bodies, stand upon the earth, alive, as they once were. Power of the word of God. God puts forth his power, his word. It is the power of his word that will slay his enemy, the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, also in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 14, you read of Christ slaying the Antichrist by the breath of his nostrils, by the spirit of his mouth. God shall, and his enemies shall be defeated. The words of Christ, then, they are uniquely powerful. Let's secondly notice this, that this is a truth that is recognized and acknowledged even by the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it was the enemies of Christ that made this statement Never man spake like this man. Men who are God's enemies, Christ's enemies, acknowledge the power of God's word. They don't all acknowledge it in such an open fashion as these men did. But nevertheless, by their actions, by their attitudes, they acknowledge the power of Christ's words. For instance, the devil acknowledges the power of Christ's word by attacking it, by seeking to destroy it, by seeking to remove it, by seeking to disarm it, by seeking to see to it that it never can influence others. Devil wages unceasing war against the word of God. In chapter 8, in the verse 44, the Lord Jesus Christ calls him a liar. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Why is the devil a liar? Because he's forever attacking the truth. He is forever opposing the truth. He is ever denying the truth of God and seeking to turn men away from the truth of God. And the only way you can turn people away from the truth is by telling lies. And if you live to turn people away from the truth, then you are a liar. And the devil is a liar because he tries to turn people away from God's truth. He seeks to deny God's truth and oppose God's truth because he knows its power. If it had no power, then the devil wouldn't bother with it. But because the Bible has power, the devil has waged unceasing war against it. And we have the copies of the scriptures before us today only as a result of God's unending power protecting this book. God preserving this book from ceaseless attack. There never was an age in which the Bible wasn't attacked in one way or other. Implacable. That is the devil's raging. It never ceases. He will employ Christians to attack the devil. He will employ Christians to undermine the devil. He will deceive Christians into mounting his latest attack upon the Bible. He has done it. In the modern versions that have flooded the world today, there are many Christians involved. They don't know that they have been recruited by the devil as undercover agents against God's truth. And by their new translations, by their slight little undermining of the veracity of God's truth in their translation, the devil is whittling away, coming at the word of God, using Christians, ceasing warfare. Mounted by the devil against the word of God. The devil, when he shows this animosity, is acknowledging the power of the Bible. It's his number one threat. The devil can leave you alone. He can turn his back on you for a while. He daren't do that. So great is his power and his potential. Man's avoidance of the words of Christ is another testimony to its power. Why is it so hard to get men in under the sound of God's word? Because they know its power. Not that long ago, I was talking to a lady involved in nursing. Holds a reasonably high position. She told me about sitting in a meeting in our Oma church. And she said to herself halfway through the meeting, if I do not get out of here, I'm going to end up getting converted. I'm going to end up getting saved. I must get out of here. And she said, I got out of that meeting at the end as quickly as I could, and I vowed I'd never be back in a free Presbyterian service because I might get saved. I might get healed. I might get converted. There she was, running from God's word. What a testimony to its power. What a testimony to power. That's why when Stephen preached, it says the people put their hands over their ears, stopped their ears. They couldn't resist it. If they were not going to be swept away by it, they had to stop listening to it. Is that why you don't attend God's house so regularly, my friend? Because you feel the power of God's word? Is that why there is a withdrawal? Because you feel the power of God's word? And the power of God's word is working on your heart, convicting you of sin, convicting you of backsliding, convicting you of what you're doing is wrong. You're feeling its power. And you know you cannot go on feeling that power without eventually being overcome by that power. And therefore you must get away. You must withdraw. You must get away from this influence. Away from word, because there's power in God's word. Stop turn away your ears. Paul said to Timothy, come, they will turn away their ears from the truth and give heed to fables. May God save us from being so foolish. The saint of God is robbed of power whenever he is starved of the word of God. It shows you what power there is in God's word. And the devil knows this. The enemies know this. They can get the Christian away from the Bible, then the Christian is weak. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live but by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to be in constant contact with the word of God if we're to maintain our power, if we're to draw divine energy into our life, if we are to know what it is to be overcomers, then we must constantly be at the Word of God. It's a source of power for us. And the devil knows this, and he'll keep you from it. He'll keep you from it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no revelation from God, the people perish. Where there is no bringing of God's truth into contact with the human soul, is death. What's wrong with Ulster today? Will there be any words of God spoken in Enniskillen? Were there any words of God spoken on the hill over here? In all the other churches, was the Bible preached? No. The people are perishing. People are dead. People are blind. The devil reduced them to that level. In the Methodist and Presbyterian churches, the Word of God was once preached in great power, but it's gone. What happened? The Bible got the Word of God out. The devil got the Bible out and has left graveyards behind. Oh, the enemy knows the power there is in God's Word. Let me say, finally, that the Word of Christ restrains his enemies. Never man spake like this man, and for that reason we couldn't arrest him. Never man spake like this man, and for that reason we couldn't do what you sent us to do. Never man spake like this man, and here we are, standing empty-handed, not able to carry out the plan to silence. Never man spake like this man, and he's still speaking because of the power of his... Never man spake like this man, and here we are, with our two hands empty. He's free. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ restrain his enemy. What a thought that is for this day, my friend. They were unable to accomplish their purpose to silence Christ because of the power of his word. How we need words like that today. I was thinking of Amos when preparing this message and what was said of him. Amos chapter 7, the verse 10. Amos chapter 7, verse 10. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Powerful words, powerful ministry. The land is not able to bear his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. I have no gifts. What power there is in my words come from God. God told me to go and prophesy. The land was not able to bear his words. The ministry of Amos was being felt by those at the very top. And men and women, there is a message here for us when we think of the fact that the word of Christ restrains the enemy. It doesn't allow the enemy to do what it would like to do. The answer to the advance of our enemies today is the preaching of Christ's word. That's the answer to what's going on in Enniskillen. The preaching of God's word in the power of the Holy Ghost. That will stop them. Nothing. They have purpose to silence the gospel in Enniskillen. They have purpose to bring the people together and cause them to forget the name of God. They have purpose to wipe out the memory of the Reformation. They have purpose to do away with the simple gospel message of this book. They're determined to arrest Christ and silence him. And nothing will stop them fulfilling this plan other than the preaching of the gospel. In the power of the never man. They who went to arrest Christ were arrested by him. Through his word, stopped. Going any further with it. Oh, may God send us the power of whatever little good the Free Presbyterian Church may have done, whatever hindrance it has been to the ecumenical movement, it has been as a result of its preaching. Not its picketing, although its picketing is very essential. It is an extension of its preaching. It is the carrying of the message of the pulpit out onto the street. But it is not its picketing, it is its preaching that has hindered the enemy. We must let them feel the sword. The word of the Lord is a sharp, two-edged sword. We must let them feel the sword of God's word. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, it shows Christ standing in the midst of the churches, and out of his mouth there went a two-edged sword. Oh, that's the weapon, my friend. As David said of Goliath's sword,
There is none like it. Give it me. So we must say of God's word, there's none like it. Give it to me.
With it I will. Oh, may God give us power to preach His word, to preach it with power. It will confound, it will divide them. That's what happened here. There was division amongst the people, it says, verse 43. And there was even division amongst the Pharisees, because Nicodemus stood up and he challenged what they were doing, and there was division amongst them. Oh, that God would send division. Oh, that the preaching of the word of God would send division amongst of Jesus. We need power to preach. The word will cleanse the land. The word will cleanse the land. One of the greatest reformations that ever took place under King Josiah. And you know what it was? Sparked it off, my friend. One day they set out to do a bit of repair work in the temple. And while they were purging the temple and cleansing it and sweeping it and tidying it up, they discovered the book of the law. They discovered the book of God. And they brought the book of the law and they gave it to the king. And the king read in it and he saw the sins that they had committed. And he cried to God and he obeyed God and he initiated a great purge of the country.
Great purge.
So great a purge did he initiate. And so cried he to God on the basis of what he read in that book, that God said, although I was determined to judge the land, I will not judge it in your day.
The judgment put off for the day of Messiah. My friend, I believe God can do that again. God is determined to judge this world.
The cup of iniquity is almost full. Judgment draws near. But God will hear the cry of a people who are ready to live by His word.
For us, would you like to see your children grow up? Would you like to see your loved ones saved? Would you like to see this generation live in the light of God's truth?
Then, Christian, I cry to you, live by the Bible. Get back to the Bible. Pray that the preaching of the Bible in this house will be in the power of the Holy Ghost.
The word will cleanse the land. Cleanse the land. The word of God will pacify and stabilize the land. Great peace have they that love thy law. Great peace have they that love thy law. Oh, my friend, if we can see God's word given its place again in Ulster, it will bring peace. It will bring stability. Let me conclude by asking you today, have you any knowledge of the word of God and its power? Have you felt the power of the word of God? Have you acknowledged the power that there is in God's word? Only Christ's words can bring you forgiveness. No other agency, no other power can bring you forgiveness of sin. Only the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the words of the Lord Jesus Christ will open your grave and bring you to heaven after you die. Only the words of Christ can open the mouth of the grave and open the gates of heaven for you. Have you felt the power of Christ's words? Never man spake like this man. Those who have sat down at his feet and listened for a lifetime can say with far greater feeling, with far greater depth than these men who, after all, would only have heard the Savior speak for a matter of minutes. They can say to a far greater degree than these men, never man spake like this man. I'm asking you today, my friend, do you know the power? Do you know the power of Christ's word? Have you felt that power in your soul and in your life? Have you answered him? It's no good being impressed by the words of the Lord Jesus if, when he speaks to you, you never answer him. The greatest demonstration of your impression of Christ's words is your answering him. Ignore him, and you are saying, I am unimpressed. Answer him, and you are acknowledging that his word carries weight with you. Oh, answer the call of the gospel today, my friend. Get right with God. Backslider, you acknowledge the weight and the power of his word as he speaks to you in grace. Or let me tell you this, and let me speak it most solemnly here this Sabbath morning. If you will not acknowledge the power of his word speaking to you in grace and mercy, backslider, let me tell you, you will feel the weight of his word sent forth in governmental power against you. And you will find that the king will not be defied, and that Jesus Christ ruleth over all affairs. You will find you cannot live in disregard to His word, and His authority will search you out and bring you down. Oh, today, while He speaks to you in mercy, heed Him, and turn and be blessed. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today. We're concluding our meeting in our usual way with a word of prayer. Let us all pray.